This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest, the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Hello, everyone. This is Basma Farhad of the People Speak Radio. Here, we believe when the people speak, they make a difference. You can listen to the People Speak live on BBS Radio every Tuesday night at 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time or by going to our site at www.thepeoplespeakradio.net. There, you can also listen to live shows or to our past shows on our iPod Ready Archive section. That's thepeoplespeakradio.net. Now, if you have a Nokia phone, you can also listen live via satellite. Just go to the website for details on how to do that. We're really thrilled to have with us an incredible activist. I really enjoy that most of our guests are activists and of such great stature and with such important issues. Jean Bauer is the founder of Farm Sanctuary. Farm Sanctuary is one of America's leading farm animal protection organizations. Hello, Jean. How are you?
Hello. I am great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you. I think this is a really important subject for many reasons. I think that some people can become very confused about what many people believe to be just an ordinary way of life. Why do we need Farm Sanctuary, Jean? What's being hidden from the public?
Well, Farm Sanctuary works to raise awareness about what happens to animals on factory farms, and we encourage citizens to make choices that are humane and consistent with their own values and also consistent with their own interests. Most people in the United States and other industrialized countries are unwittingly supporting a system that is abusive to animals and workers, is very wasteful in terms of destroying the environment and polluting the environment and using scarce resources like water and fossil fuels and so on. And it's also unhealthy. The foods we're eating in industrialized nations are killing us. The top two leading causes of death are heart disease and cancer, and we're also seeing now an epidemic of obesity, diabetes, things like that, which are related to the way we eat. So every day, each of us makes choices, and one of the most important choices we make is what we decide to eat. And it affects ourselves as well as animals and the planet.
You know, I think part of the problem here is, too, a lot of people would consider your work to be very destructive to what many people's livelihoods are based upon. The food chain, the food sources that are being presented and that you have issue with, you and many others have issue with. Are you suggesting that we all become vegan and give up meat as a food source?
Well, we do believe that the best choice each of us can make, you know, for our own health as well as for the health of the planet and animals is to eat plants instead of animals and is to adopt a vegan lifestyle. Think again, food choices are, you know, have profound consequences. And, you know, most of us, including myself, grew up eating meat, milk, and eggs without really thinking about it, without really considering that we didn't need to do that. And in fact, we can be healthy, even healthier, by eating plant foods instead of animal foods. So I think it's a choice people should seriously consider, but we also recognize that everybody has to make their own choices. But we just want people to make informed choices and also to make choices that are consistent with their own values. And, you know, when people see what happens to animals on today's factory farms, most are appalled. And we also want people to eat in a way that's consistent with their own interests, you know, to eat foods that are not going to make them sick. And so a vegan lifestyle, I think, accomplishes those goals.
I believe we have with us Joan Jett. Joan, are you with us?
I certainly am.
Hello, Joan. Joan is an American rock guitarist, singer, songwriter, producer, and actress. And she's been an incredible force when it comes to animal rights. Welcome to the show, Joan. It's a pleasure having you with us.
Thank you for having me. Please excuse any background noise that you may hear. I'm on the set of a movie right now they're making about my first band, The Runaways. So if you hear any background clatter, that's what it is.
Well, we appreciate that you took the time out of your busy schedule to talk with us. I agree that this is an important cause. I know, Joan, you too are a vegan, and I was just asking Gene what his thoughts are. I mean, is the plight of humane treatment of animals contingent on the masses in the world giving up meat as a food source? What are your thoughts on that, Joan?
Well, I can speak to my own experience. As Gene just mentioned for his own self that he grew up eating meat, I did as well. I was conditioned to do so. I never thought twice about it, even though I am a huge animal lover from the moment I realized what animals were. But I never made the connection. I was a big meat eater, always ate meat, very rare. And my best friend, someone I work with, my producer and songwriting partner, Kenny Laguna, has also been vegan since he was 11. Now, he's a little bit older than I am. And as we discussed it, and he would talk to me about it from time to time, I started to become more and more aware of his lifestyle, and I started to read a book called Diet for a New America that sort of discussed factory farming and the food production in America and how food goes from the fields to our plates. And it was written by John Robbins, who is part of the Baskin and Robbins food ice cream empire. So he comes from a dairy farming family, and I guess saw it firsthand and decided to write this book. So, I was appalled to learn many of the facts that I learned reading this book, and was repulsed, and it coincided with, me changing my eating habits at the time. And so I've probably been first vegetarian and then vegan for close to maybe 16 years now. And I think it was the only choice for me once I recognized that I had been conditioned and it really wasn't the choice I wanted to make. And I've had no problem adjusting at all to the switch. Now, I think it's important to note that human beings aren't really geared to eat meat. Our teeth aren't, so if you study anthropology at all, you can see that the human body isn't really made. We're the only species that continues to drink milk into our adult lives. So recognizing that some of these things are conditionings and that they can be changed, I think is really, really important.
Well, thank you. Let me ask you both. Jane, first, maybe you can talk to us a little bit about this since you are the founder. Is this actually an advocacy group for the abolishment of the institutional exploitation of animals, or are you trying to affect the legal rights of animals for a more humane system of monitoring our food sources and how they are slaughtered?
Well, Farm Sanctuary is both an animal rights and an animal welfare organization. We work to prevent suffering and work to outlaw the cruelest factory farming practices through legislation, through initiatives, through litigation and other legal means. But we also encourage people to make food choices that are the most humane, which would be vegan. So we are both an animal rights organization, which is an abolitionist organization, and an animal welfare organization in terms of working to prevent cruelty as quickly as possible.
And Joan, what would you like to see happen? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, ultimately, I think it would be a much more perfect world if people did not find it necessary to kill animals for a food source. But I also recognize that may not happen, as this is not a perfect world. But certainly what Gene's talking about of changing things through legislation to make things as humane as possible. And so you recognize the sacrifices these animals are making as well. I mean, these are feeling, sentient beings. And anyone that's spent any time around animals, period, no matter how low down you go, I think that you really can see that if you're sensitive and open to it.
Well, you know, there are groups that advocate that one species of animal, such as the ape, is more important to than others because they're more like us. Under those circumstances, wouldn't it be a case of should one animal have better protection over, say, animals that are considered food sources?
Well, I think, this is Gene, I think all animals deserve to be treated with respect and compassion, including farm animals. And there are some legal efforts underway, I believe, to gain protections for primates. And I think that effort is based on the idea that primates are pretty close to human beings in many ways. But as we dig deeper, you know, I think we see that other animals are very much like human beings as well. And when it comes to an animal's ability to feel pain and fear and to suffer, you know, they're all pretty similar. You know, pigs suffer, cows suffer, chickens, turkeys, just as well as primates and cats and dogs and human beings. So we work to prevent suffering and to promote compassion and encourage people to make choices that they can feel good about. Because I think most people, when they think about what happens to animals on farms, are pretty upset and are unwittingly supporting a bad system.
Do you think that the American public is grossly undereducated as to the slaughtering practices and techniques that are being used in these slaughterhouses?
Yes, I do. And I think that's one thing that these humane legislative campaigns bring, is that when we try to pass laws, there's a public discussion about what is happening, and that's a way to raise awareness. And as we raise awareness, I think people are going to start making better choices about their food. And, you know, like Joan was saying before, it's important for people to get to know animals. And it was great to visit with Joan here at Farm Sanctuary earlier this year, where she was able to hang out with chickens and pigs and other animals. And we encourage other people to do that, too, to visit Farm Sanctuary in Watkins Glen, New York, or Orland, California, and get to see these animals as individuals, as sentient beings, as Joan said, who have feelings, just like cats and dogs and other animals that we share our lives with.
Joan,
yeah, it really does extend into that, you know, picturing your cat or your dog. Most people couldn't even consider that thought, but it is exactly the same. You know, I would go one step further and throw humans into that as well. I mean, you know, you're talking about killing another sentient being. So, I mean, I don't really see the difference.
You know, part of the problems that we incur is not only the inhumane treatment of animals, but the absurdly unsanitary conditions that our food source literally wallows in. How is this allowed in a government, in a country that has a government that has supposedly stringent and advocates stringent sanitary conditions for food sources?
Well, actually, the government does not have very stringent regulations when it comes to how animals are being treated on the farm. In fact, when it comes to the humane treatment of farm animals, they're actually excluded from the Federal Animal Welfare Act, and farm animals are also excluded from most state anti-cruelty laws. And there's also not oversight when it comes to sanitary conditions at these facilities. So pretty much anything goes. And you have animals crowded by the thousands in small cages and crates where they can barely move, where chickens, for example, cannot stretch their wings, or where pigs or calves are tethered or confined so tightly they can't even turn around, and they'll live that way for months or even years. And so these animals are under intense stress. To keep them alive, they're routinely fed antibiotics, which then leads to the development of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. And when people consume these products, which may be contaminated with pathogens, then people's health is at risk. And so, you know, this is a system that is bad for the animals, and you know, it is highly unregulated, and that's one of the myths that is out there. I think most people assume and want to believe that there are some basic laws that protect these animals, and that there are laws also that regulate conditions at these facilities, but there are not, and that's one of the things we're working on.
And what are the current, what are the current projects and programs that are being initiated as we speak to help change what we're dealing with here?
Well, we're working on state legislation that would require that certain animals have at least enough space to turn around and stretch their limbs. As modest as that sounds, it is something that agribusiness is fighting intensely. Now, we worked on a similar law in California that legislation was introduced years ago to give animals space to turn around and stretch their limbs, but agribusiness is very influential in state capitals as well as in Washington, D.C., and they were able to defeat that legislation. So we had to organize a campaign to put the measure on the ballot so voters could vote on it. And last November, over 63% of voters in California approved of Proposition 2, which gives cows, pigs, and chickens that are raised in certain confinement systems at least enough space to turn around and stretch their limbs. But we're working on similar legislation now in other states. And we're also working on legislation to prevent the marketing and slaughter of animals that are too sick even to walk. For years, downed animals, again, animals too sick to walk, have been dragged onto trucks and taken to slaughterhouses to be killed and used for human food. Recently, the USDA put a regulation in to prevent downed cows from going into the food supply. But we're now working to encourage the agency and legislators to prevent the slaughter of downed pigs and other animals too sick to walk from being used for human food. We think it's cruel to the animals, and we also think that putting these sick animals into the food supply poses a risk for consumers. And along these lines, the USDA explicitly allows diseased animals to be slaughtered and used for food, and we think that that's wrong as well, and that's something we're challenging the agency about.
Now, you know, I just got a question from somebody that usually doesn't put his two cents in. Seth from BBS Radio would like to know what about the effects of the institutionally inhumane treatment of animals on the people who work in the slaughterhouses? Has there been any studies or surveys or documentation about them?
Well, you know, I've spoken to people who've worked at these facilities, and, you know, when your job consists of cutting the throats of animals 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, you know, that's an inherently bloody, violent job, and it does something to you. And so there are accounts of the sort of brutality that exists in these slaughterhouses that then tends to be taken home by workers and who then, you know, act violently in their families and in their communities. So, yeah, no, there has there's been studies showing that there is a relationship between violence to animals and violence to people, and particularly in the area where slaughterhouses exist, you have, you know, great difficulties in rural communities. So, yeah, this is bad for the animals, bad for people, bad for communities. And, again, it's something that does not have to exist. We can live and do very well without eating animals.
You know, Gene and Joan, due to the nature of my work, I get a lot of promotional DVDs and books and materials sent to me. One of the items that I received actually probably about a year ago was called Earthling. It was a DVD narrated by Joaquin Phoenix. Have either of you seen the video or the DVD?
No, I have not.
Well, I'll tell you, it's unbelievably brutal. When I first, honestly, I didn't even realize what it was. When I first started watching it, when I saw the word earthling, I thought we were being invaded by aliens. So I thought, okay, and since I really like Joaquin Phoenix and his acting, I thought I'm going to watch this. And I'll be honest with you, I was compelled to continue watching, even to the horror, as I watched and witnessed some of the most unbelievable crimes against living beings that I've ever seen. I'm not going to pretty this up. It's really quite horrific what is happening in our farming industry, in our slaughterhouses. It was totally beyond the imagination. And as much as you hear, I think witnessing what ended up happening was a gentleman took some hidden camera footage into many of the slaughterhouses, into the farming areas. And, you know, we're talking about literally carcasses of diseased animals mixed in with healthy animals and going into the food sources, the beating, even sometimes for fun, the brutal murder and killing of animals just for fun on the farm. I mean, this was unbelievable. And as unbelievable as it is, you're eating it, people. That's what's happening in this country. What do you feel about, you know, footage and film like this? Why is not more of this being presented, Gene?
Well, I think oftentimes people sort of prefer to live in denial rather than to confront the reality and to take more responsibility for their actions. You know, what's happening is brutal, and it's upsetting, and it's appalling. And, you know, unfortunately, most people are unwittingly part of it by buying meat, milk, and eggs and supporting a system that treats living, feeling, sentient animals as nothing but inanimate commodities. So, you know, rather than confronting that and making choices, you know, not to support that and to eat plants instead of animals, you know, people, you know, tend to live in a sort of fantasy land and state of denial and don't look at these things because they are upsetting. So hopefully, you know, as time goes and with the internet and with programs like this, people will begin thinking more and looking more at their food choices. And I encourage people to go to the Farm Sanctuary website, which is www.farmsanctuary.org, and we have pictures and videotapes there which show firsthand what is happening. And Earthlings is another very good source. I agree that shows the reality, and it's painful. But I think it's important for people to be aware of it and then to make informed choices.
Absolutely. Joan and Jean, some of the fast food restaurants are introducing veggie burgers. Good, bad, or not enough?
I don't know. You want to take that one, Joan?
I'd say definitely not enough. I think people are slowly adding those choices to their restaurant menus, but as people are looking out for their health and trying to lose weight. But I think sometimes it's more about weight than being sensitive to the plight of cruelty to animals. But I think that things are slowly changing. You know, things are incremental. We'd like things to change overnight. I think that it is definitely changing because I am able to get a veggie burger in most states now.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, thankfully there's some more awareness and there are more vegetarian and vegan options available. But hopefully as time goes, even more will be available at venues from fast food restaurants to other restaurants to, and of course health food stores are a great source of good plant-based organic food as well.
And obviously there, we do have choices. I think though, again, this always goes back to, I think, one of the most critical aspects of all, and as an activist myself, this is something that we've always fought and always struggled against, is the lack of information or the lack of the information reaching the masses. Why do you think that is, Gene?
Well, I think that there is actually an intentional attempt by agribusiness to prevent citizens from seeing what's happening. There was a time when Oprah spoke about mad cow disease on her program back in the 1990s. And, you know, there's been a concern about mad cow disease in the U.S. for decades. But the USDA and agribusiness has actively sought to squelch discussion. And when Oprah mentioned that, she ended up getting sued by cattlemen in Texas. And she had to go to court and fight for months. So there's an actual effort by agribusiness to prevent these issues from being discussed. And I think that's a huge problem. We're big fans of
transfer. Yes, they're spending billions of dollars to make sure we don't make that connection. Sorry, Gene, I didn't mean to interrupt, but you're absolutely right that they're making billions of dollars to make sure that the masses don't make that connection. They don't see what's going on.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Joan. And they spend billions of dollars on advertising also to put out this notion that these are fun products and to put these positive feelings on meat, milk, and
right.
eggs, which are actually products of torture if you really look at the truth of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. As you said, you know, the little mustache with milk on it. And I've often wondered, has anybody ever really thought of the consequences of drinking milk? You know, you have a calf that's born at about an average of 40 pounds, and within 1 year, based on drinking milk alone from the mother cow, weighs, 2,000 pounds in less than a year? I mean, think about it. Why would you ingest something that is doing that to you?
Yeah, well, cow's milk is for calves. It's not for human beings.
Exactly.
And, as Joan was saying, we're the only species that drinks milk past the age of weaning, but we're also the only species that drinks the milk of another species. You know, so it's something that if you look at with opened eyes and an open mind, doesn't really make a lot of sense for human beings to be drinking cow's milk.
No, it doesn't, unfortunately. You know, one of the things that, you know, a lot of people are going to, I know for a fact, like I said, but I've heard this myself, we don't, in many cases, people don't really get the issue of animal rights. There are many, especially even activists don't understand it. They're so busy working on what they consider to be real issues that they seem to almost look down their noses on people who are working really tirelessly for non-human justice. But there is an issue here. How do you satisfy the need for an answer to that? I know as a Palestinian American, I was once asked, where are all the animal rights activists? Are we not at least worthy of the same justice as America's animals are? I had a universal answer to that, Gene. I was, based on my spirituality, I was able to say the correct things. But, you know, in fact, we're here defending the rights of the animals while the children of the world are dying and disappearing into child armies, into human trafficking, starving, and being abused on a constant basis. Well, how do you answer something like that?
Well, I think cruelty is cruelty, whether to human or non-human animals. And when it comes to animals that are raised for food, there's very few people or organizations working on their behalf. There are more people and organizations working to prevent human rights violations. But, you know, we support those, and we support any effort there is to raise awareness about cruelty and injustice, whether to human or non-human animals, and we think it's important for each of us to do what we can to combat the types of abuses that are sadly part of our world today. But Farm Sanctuary was founded to take on an issue that really was not getting the kind of attention that it needed. And it's also an issue that most people don't recognize they are directly affected by. You know, every day each of us makes food choices, so we're, you know, part of a system. And each of us can make other choices that are better. So, you know, this is something that is very relevant. And And because we care about animals does not mean we don't care about people as well. You know, we're concerned about cruelty across the board, and we think they're all part of the same problem, which is based on a lack of empathy, a lack of consideration and respect for others. And I think by extending that to animals, we also, you know, help to extend it to people. And, you know, just trying to live in a way that is, again, consistent with our own values. I think most people are humane. Most people don't like cruelty, whether to animals or to other people. And so, you know, we should be mindful of our choices, because whenever we spend a dollar, whether it's on food or whether it's supporting a particular institution, you know, we can decide whether or not, you know, to support certain practices. So every day we make choices that are very important, and we just want people to be mindful and thoughtful about those, and also to support advocacy organizations that do various good things.
Well, you know, I want to address some of that, but Joan is going to be leaving us for the day. As she said earlier, she is on the set of her new movie, The Runaways. Joan, I want to thank you for being with us today. If you have some parting words for everyone.
Well, I want to say thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to join this conversation, because I think it's a conversation that is long overdue. And I would just ask people to please investigate and look inside your own heart, and please look into the eyes of your companion animal, if you've got one, or the next farm animal you come across, and just consider some of these things we've brought up today, because it is good for all of us.
Well, we appreciate
you.
Thank you very much. And you're a great advocate for this cause, Joan. Thank you, and good luck on your work.
Thank you, and thank you, Jean, for all you do. It's very important.
So
thank you, Farm Sanctuary.
Thank you, Joan. We'll talk to you again soon, hopefully.
You betcha. Have a great day.
I guess this is... Thank you. All right. I guess this is a really good time to probably take our bottom of the hour break. We have with us Jean Bauer, and that was Joan Jett, American rock guitarist, singer, and songwriter. And we'll be back with to finish the rest of the interview with Jean Bauer, founder of Farm Sanctuary.
We teach them how to tie their shoes. They teach us how to live our lives. We teach them long division. They teach us how to bank online. Our children will always outgrow us, but for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children aged 6 to 11 has doubled. The percent of overweight teenagers tripled. Obesity kills. Heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, all are linked to obesity, a problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children live, where children will use them. Finding out how you can help is as easy as tying your shoes. Log on to earthshare.org now, a public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
In our Constitution, the Founding Fathers laid a path to an economy that should have kept Americans free and prosperous. How we the people were tricked off that path into a world of debt and deception reads like one of the great mystery novels of all time. American Free Press compares author Ellen Brown's new book, Web of Debt, to an eye-opening thriller that will leave you feeling like Neo in The Matrix. In Web of Debt, the mysterious and often shocking origins of today's ultimate financial crisis are exposed, starting with its distant beginnings to its present disastrous climax, as the reader is shown that the way to restore America's true wealth has been with us all along. Please visit Ellen Brown's website, webofdebt.com, to see how America's money and future can become by and for the people once again.
Join the World March for Peace and Nonviolence, an international three-month event spanning seven continents and over 1 million participants. With endorsements from luminaries worldwide such as President Jimmy Carter, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. The World March for Peace and Nonviolence seeks to bring attention to the need to end war and occupation, reduce arms spending, and all forms of violence, please visit theworldmarch.org.
This land is yours.
Join us on the People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact the world and make a difference. That's the People Speak every Tuesday, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for being with us this evening. Our guests tonight are Jean Bauer, founder of Farm Sanctuary, and Joan Jett, a musician, American rock guitarist. Joan had to leave. She was in the middle of a shoot and was kind enough to join us for a few minutes, so it was really a pleasure having her. And she is a good friend to the Farm Sanctuary. Speaking of the Farm Sanctuary, Jean, can you tell us a little bit about what you do at the Farm Sanctuary, where it is, the type of work that's going on there actually on a day-to-day basis?
Sure. Farm Sanctuary is a sanctuary for farm animals, but it's also a sanctuary for people who care about animals. It's a place where you can come and spend time in a positive setting with pigs and cows and turkeys and chickens. We have two farms, one in Watkins Glen, New York, and one in Miss Orland, California, which is about 100 miles north of Sacramento. And we also have overnight cabins, both in Watkins Glen, New York, and Orland, California, where people can come, stay overnight, wake up and see the roosters out in the fields crowing, see pigs out in the fields rooting, cows out there grazing. And we also have events where we have hundreds of people come to the farm to listen to speakers, to take special tours. Sometimes we have music at the farm. So these are sanctuaries for animals, but they're also sanctuaries for people. And we encourage people to come and visit. You can check out our website, which is www.farmsanctuary.org, with information about visiting.
Well, you know, I know at the beginning of Farm Sanctuary, Jean, you guys actually funded it by selling veggie hot dogs. And that's how you raised your funds for Farm Sanctuary. What are you doing now?
That's right. Well, when Farm Sanctuary started back in 1986, you know, as you say, we funded it by selling vegetarian hot dogs at Grateful Dead concerts out of our Volkswagen van. You know, we've grown quite a lot since then. We now have over 200,000 members and supporters around the country that donate, and it's that membership that allows us to continue doing this work. And we, you know, love it for people to come visit, and you can also adopt animals from Farm Sanctuary. We're always looking for good homes. Where people will allow the animals to live out their lives and provide them everything they need. We also have a sponsorship program where people can sponsor an animal who lives at Farm Sanctuary. And the animals at Farm Sanctuary all came from abusive situations. Our first rescued animal, in fact, her name was Hilda, came from a pile of dead animals behind a stockyard. We were out doing investigations, which we continue to do today, and as we walked around this stockyard, there's a pile of dead animals. And these are animals that die in transit or die in the process before getting to the slaughterhouse. And so we approached this pile, and there were dead pigs and dead cows and dead sheep, and there were maggots so thick you could literally hear them buzzing. And off of this dead pile, one of the sheep lifts her head as if to signal she's alive and needs help. So we took her off the dead pile and took her to a veterinarian, thinking she would probably have to be euthanized. But within a half hour, she was standing on her own, and she came home with us, and that was Hilda. She lived with us for more than 10 years. And we continue doing that kind of work where, in some cases, we literally take living animals out of trash cans where they've been discarded and just left, you know, as garbage. So, unfortunately, you know, animals on factory farms are seen as just unfeeling commodities. And if they're not considered to be economically profitable, they're sometimes just discarded. And that's where Farm Sanctuary has come in the past and continues to be available to help, to rescue these animals and treat them like animals, not like commodities, not like garbage. And that's a big part of the message at Farm Sanctuary. It's a place of transformation where these animals who have been seen as nothing but production units and in some cases discarded are seen as friends and companions who we share our lives with. And it's a special, magical place, and we love it for people to come visit.
So this isn't just a farm for farm animals. You do also deal with all kinds of animals at Farm Sanctuary.
Well, actually, Farm Sanctuary is focused on helping farm animals, you know, those who are treated as production units on farms and seen as food. There are a number of shelters across the country that help cats and dogs and horses, but there really are very few that deal with animals who are exploited in the food production industry. So that's where Farm Sanctuary focuses our attention. You know, so we have cows and pigs and sheep and goats and chickens and turkeys and ducks and geese. These are animals that, you know, are oftentimes regarded as nothing but pieces of meat from the day they're born till the day they're killed. And we want to change that. We want people to see these animals as living, feeling creatures. You know, animals just like cats or dogs who have feelings and deserve to be treated with respect and compassion.
You know, during my research and trying to find out how we were going to understand this, one of the things that I ran across where I thought it was very interesting was a set of principles and moral baselines for a real animal rights movement. And first of all, before we even get into that, one of the things that I was pretty surprised to find is that there really isn't a lot of animal rights movement. You know, we hear about PETA, we hear about, you know, these little breakthrough episodes of paint being splashed on mink coats and, you know, things like that. And I call them breakthrough episodes because they almost have to break through the seal that's on the media in order for people to even understand that there's even an issue. But truly, there isn't a huge animal rights movement in the United States, is there, Gene?
No. Compared to the industries that we are challenging, the animal rights movement is very small. One meat industry advertising campaign can cost more than the entire funding of the largest animal protection organizations in the U.S. So mm-hmm. we're up against some massive industries. But, you know, I like to think of that Margaret Mead quote, that never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever does. And I do believe that in the animal rights movement, you know, we are a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens, and we are step-by-step changing the world. I think it's because we're tying into a sentiment that most people essentially agree with. Most people do not think it's okay to abuse other animals. And I think also most people would rather eat food that is healthy instead of food that makes them sick, would rather support an agricultural system that is sustainable, does not deplete scarce resources such as water and topsoil, and that does not pollute our land. So I think that, you know, we have a lot of very positive things on our side, but the animal rights movement, relative to the agribusiness industries we're up against, is very small financially. But I do believe that most citizens, when they look at the issues, will agree that change is necessary, and I ultimately do believe that change is inevitable.
You know, we have a question here from one of our listeners, Mike in California. Mike wants to know, his question is, Gene, do you feel that the inhumane treatment of animals leads to the inhumane treatment of human beings and that the two are connected?
Yes, I believe that the inhumane treatment of animals leads to the inhumane treatment of human beings. I believe these things are very much connected. Violence is violence, whether it's done to animals or to human beings. And, you know, study after study has shown and research has shown that some of our nation's worst serial killers, people like Jeffrey Dahmer, started by abusing animals and then went on to focus on mistreating people. So, yes, I do believe these things are linked.
I agree, and I know that is what they consider one of the hallmark things to look for in children that are disturbed is the abuse of animals. Because, you know, obviously there has to be some kind of a disconnect that happens when someone, especially if it's a child, starts to abuse another creature. I mean, to me, that's just It just doesn't even make any sense. I know we are animal lovers in our home. My children and my grandchildren are all, I mean, the thought of abusing an animal is just beyond anything that is recognizable around here. But it happens all the time. One of the things that that Jean and I had discussed was the issue of being a nonviolence situation. All of these issues can be boiled down to one thing: violence against something else, whether it's a sentient creature, whether it's another human being, whether it's a child, whether it's whether it's war. Violence is at the basis of all of these things. It's the core. And if you are not practicing nonviolent principles, then you are going to be nonviolent in every way in your life, whether it's nonviolence in respect to war and not advocating war. We are going to be nonviolent to our neighbors, to our children, and to our animals. It's as simple as that. There's no getting away with it. If you're either a violent person or you're a nonviolent person.
Absolutely. And I think most people would rather be nonviolent, you know, because violence is bad for the victim, but also it is also bad for the oppressor. You know, when one is cruel to another, there's a tendency to want to rationalize it and justify it. And doing so sort of causes a person to harden their heart, to narrow their mind, and to judge others in a very harsh and brutal way. You know, farm animals in the U.S. are horribly mistreated. But rather than looking at that and seeing it for what it is, there's a tendency to label and to denigrate the victim, the animal, just as there is a tendency to label and denigrate victims of human oppression. So, you know, this is a system of violence that's perpetrated on animals, in the case of factory farming, perpetrated on other human beings in other sorts of conflicts. And I think this type of violence is inconsistent with our best natures. And that's why we encourage people, you know, to think carefully about their food choices and their other choices, and to make mindful, informed decisions that are consistent with one's own values and consistent with one's own interests. And I think, you know, acting in that way is good for each individual, but it's also good for us as a society and for our planet at large.
You know, I'd like to ask for those of our listeners that are interested, what can they do? How can we help to spread the word? First of all, obviously, I think that we have enough information and accessibility to the internet today to search out the horror that is going on in our food sources today. But what else can we do, Jean? How can we help?
Well, as you say, there's a lot of information online, and our website, farmsanctuary.org, is a good source of that information. But it's important for people to make thoughtful food choices. Each day, as we eat, we are contributing to a particular food production system. So by choosing to eat plants that are locally produced, that are organic, that, you know, perhaps can be purchased at farmers markets, or through community-supported agriculture programs, or through community gardening, we are making a statement and supporting a system that is healthy and sustainable. So, you know, every day we make food choices, and that's probably the most important thing that we need to look at to take a bite out of the abuse we see. In fact, global warming is caused more by the livestock industry than by the transportation industry. So by eating plants instead of animals, we're also taking a large bite out of global warming. And so that's the number one thing people can do. And then beyond that, I encourage people to get involved with groups like Farm Sanctuary or other animal protection organizations or environmental groups or social justice groups or peace groups, just to be active, to do something, instead of becoming apathetic and complacent about the problems we see around us. It's important to be an active participant in the solution, instead of an unwitting participant in the problem.
Gene, we have a question from Alice in Montana. And Alice asks, I've been trying to give up meat. Do you have any suggestions?
Well, you know, unfortunately, sometimes it's hard to change habits. But we just need to look at these as what they are. They're just habits. And we can change them. And it's getting easier and easier. You know, for example, you could have spaghetti and meatballs without the meatballs. Or you could put vegan or veggie meatballs in instead of the meat meatballs. Or you could put veggies in, like broccoli or other veggies, in the pasta instead of meatballs. Stir fries are very easy to do. You know, pick up a vegan cookbook and start being creative in the kitchen. And don't be afraid to try new things. Also, there's lots of great ethnic foods, like Chinese food or Ethiopian food or Middle Eastern food or Mexican food that does not rely on meat. So I think it's just a matter of learning new foods and, in some cases, just taking the meat out of the food that you're eating. Also, soy milk is becoming more and more available, as is rice milk or almond milk or other nut milk. You can find these in health food stores. So I would encourage you to go to a local health food store or also even at some grocery stores. You can find these meatless meats. You can find veggie hot dogs, veggie hamburgers. You can also find alternatives to cow's milk, either made out of soybeans or rice or things like that. So those are a couple quick thoughts. And we have a website called vegforlife.org that has lots of information about what you can do to adopt a vegan lifestyle.
Well, you know, for me, as you said, the different food groups around the world are not necessarily dependent on meat. Most developing countries have vegan lifestyles due to the fact that they just don't have the meat available to them. So there are great recipes all over the web. I know, and then, as you said, cook your meal without the meat. Exactly the way you would anything else. Just cook it without the meat. And, you know, when you're talking about your sauces and your spaghettis, and throw in a few vegetables, and voila, vegan you are.
Yes, exactly.
We have a question from Sheila in Oregon for you. Is there any legislation currently pushing for the abolishment of inhumane treatment of animals raised for food?
We're working on several laws at the state level, and we're also working on some things federally. And I think the best thing to do is just to encourage people to go to the Farm Sanctuary website, farmsanctuary.org, and look at the section on the issues. And we have a list of different bills that are being discussed right now to put an end to some of the cruelest practices. So I think that's the best advice I could give, because that's changing constantly, and there's different bills in different states, and we're working in a variety of places.
And there are a lot of people that are working on these. Not enough, obviously. I would hope that there would be more coming out as we speak. But, you know, in many cases, we reject things like racism, sexism, ageism, homophobia. But we accept speciesism, where animals who are of a different species and earthlings, nonetheless, and yet we abuse them and we exploit them and we own them. They are no longer free beings, and we accept that. We're okay with that. That's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate, and I think it's based on a misunderstanding of other animals and a disconnection from other animals. And that's one of the things that, you know, is so important, I think, about Farm Sanctuary, is people can come and visit and get to know a cow or a pig or chicken and look in their eyes and recognize that they are just as interested in living and enjoying their lives as we are. They develop relationships with other animals. They want to avoid pain and fear, and they want to, you know, have fun and just enjoy life. So farm animals are not that different than cats or dogs or people.
They are not. They are people, too. I think that's something we all have to try to understand. May I ask you how you think from the beginnings, from humble beginnings of understanding what was happening to right now, how have your views changed in the animal rights movement?
Well, I think that my general feelings are similar in that I believe that it's wrong for other animals to be exploited and abused for our own purposes and for our own whims. But in terms of how we go about change, I guess I realize increasingly the importance of patience and persistence. I mean, I wish things would change right now, but I also realize that that's not likely. So I just need to keep pushing on day by day and also try to understand that, you know, some of these habits that we've developed in this country in terms of our eating habits as well as our food production habits took decades to be put into place, and it's probably going to take some time to be dismantled and to change. But we are starting to see the changes. And, you know, I remain optimistic and hopeful, and I do believe that, you know, most people ultimately oppose this, and that gives me great hope for the changes underway.
Well, there you have it, folks. Jean Bauer, and earlier we had Joan Jett. Jean is the founder of Farm Sanctuary. The sanctuary is, you can go to I thought I had that a second ago. And I guess I can't find it. Jean, what is the website, please?
It is www.farmsanctuary.org.
I guess that's one thing. Here it is, yeah. I finally found it after you finished. But that's where you can get a lot of information. As I said, there, the web is filled with information. Do something. There are animals that are, I mean, if you could even, you can't even begin to imagine the horror that some of the animals in your food, from your food sources and the suffering that they endure before they come to your plate. I think that's something that we should all think about. I appreciate Farm Sanctuary. I appreciate you, Jean and Bauer and Joan Jett for the work that you guys are doing. More power to you. Congratulations. And I will continue because I'm what I call a practicing vegan. I practice all the time. And sometimes I make it do well and sometimes I don't, unfortunately. But I will keep practicing till I get a lot better at it, and hopefully one day I will consider myself a true vegan. Thank you very much for joining us this evening, Jean. It's been a great pleasure and a great honor dealing with someone that is working so fastidiously on a nonviolent society.
Thank you so much. I appreciate everything you do to help raise awareness and promote compassion. So thank you very much.
You have a good evening. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And as we said before, when the people speak, they make a difference. So let the people speak. Thank you very much, everyone. We'll see you next week.
In the shadow of the city wall, by the relief fountain, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream water. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.